Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Pod Save the King!
Hello and welcome to Pod Save the King. I'm your host, Zoe Forsey, and I'm here, as always, with our royal editor, Russell Myers. How are you, Russ?
I'm very well. I wish people could see me because I'm sitting on a very tall stool because my back's hurting. And I haven't been given enough sympathy, but no, I'm joking. You've been very, very kind. But I feel like I'm in Westlife because I'm sitting here.
I was hoping you'd repeat that joke because that does deserve a second go.
Maybe we'll put a picture on the social medias because it is rather... Dan's taking pictures of us now. We look rather ludicrous, but, you know, this is what we suffer for the arts, don't we?
But as you said, at least it's been a nice quiet week for you.
Well, again,
So let's jump straight into it because obviously we had an author special last week, which means we didn't catch up. So lots of things to go through, but kicking off with the most, you know, the kind of biggest news, obviously, is this latest row even over Frogmore Cottage, which is, of course, Meghan and Harry's UK residence. So they have been asked to leave. They've put out a statement confirming this, quite a short statement. It just said, we can confirm the Duke and Duchess of Sussex have been requested to vacate their residence at Frogmore Cottage. Reports that it is because Andrew is... looking, you know, Charles wants to move Andrew there, that Andrew doesn't want to go. Lots of upset. Apparently the couple are stunned by it. Apparently some of the other royals are also appalled by it. Tell us about this, because
we can play royal bingo. Who do you reckon? Yeah. So, yeah, who are the two royals who Harry and Meghan still speak to that are probably a little bit unhappy about the treatment? But yeah, absolutely explosive news. And you know what? I think a lot of people probably didn't think that the king had it in him.
Yep.
I know this is really split opinion because some people are thinking, you know, go King Charles, good on you. He has, you know, his back up against the wall. Harry has been basically slating all of his family. Nobody got off lightly. The king was basically told or sort of painted a picture that he was this old dithering man who couldn't make decisions. Camilla called the wicked stepmother, or certainly alluded to the fact that he thought she would become a wicked stepmother. But what did he say? He said that she was had her eyes on the crown, that she was only getting with Prince Charles as he was then, to marry him, to cement her place within the monarchy, and then didn't really give a fig for much other people. Camilla really came across as quite a ruthless individual.
It,
yeah, definitely.
Changing his bedroom into a walk-in wardrobe.
Absolutely,
within days of moving.
Come on. Yeah. I mean, then the other stuff we had, Harry talking about his brother being a bully, Kate being very nasty or not very welcoming, shall we say, to Meghan, not sharing a lip gloss. The two of them sitting in Kensington Palace on these sort of thrones while at the other side of the room having an argument with Harry and Meghan. Well, other people will say, well, what on earth did they expect? You can't sort of do that to your family and, like he said, complain about them not wanting to reconcile with him and expect it to all run smoothly. So I suppose we are seeing, in a sense, that this is the way the cookie crumbles. But it seems to me as it's a pretty drastic move from the king. When we hear over the last couple of days that he took that action just days after learning about the book. Again, it's still the understanding that he hasn't read it. I still can't believe that, because surely you'd find time to read it. And it's such a good read. It's very well written that you'd absolutely blitz through it. But at the very least, the king was given a complete dossier of all the main sort of points and allegations that Harry had made. And upon reading this, the king was instructing aides at once to sort of follow through with this plan. Now, of course, you could say that why on earth is he chucking out Harry and Meghan when they have paid back the money on Frogmore Cottage that they had promised to from the British taxpayer? They had a rental agreement in place. It had been a gift from the Queen, albeit on a leasehold basis. And then you've got the problem of putting Prince Andrew up in another royal residence whilst he has disgraced himself and the royal family. So there is so much to unpick, and I suppose so many layers of this argument. And again, this is going to make things worse. Of course it is, because how on earth can Harry and Meghan show their faces now at the coronation? Even if, I mean, I was told just a week or two ago that they were still undecided. Now, they may have known that this was bubbling away in the background, but it's definitely happened pretty swiftly indeed. So that will no doubt maybe point their minds into a different direction.
Who knows? It does feel like quite a big sign.
Yeah.
We know that the reports up until this point have been that Charles, you know, wanted them there and, you know, lots of that. But this feels like quite a big sign. But let's just kind of go back. Obviously, there's lots to unpick. There's different parts of it almost. But going back to kind of the Meghan and Harry being kicked out point before we touch on Andrew, I also think that, because there's also the point of the upset that's been caused and the row within the royal family. But if you kind of put that to one side, there is also the aspect of there is this huge, you know, cottage, the word cottage, laughable in this situation. Because, yeah, you know, huge, great, big,
well,
lovely, beautiful house.
Well, it's not as big
house.
As a big royal
well, yeah,
residence.
But it's still, you know, it's still slightly bigger than my London flat. There's lots of royal palaces and lots of royal properties, but not all of them are suitable to live in. They're not all ready to go. They don't all have, you know, ready to for someone to move in. At a time when Charles is trying to make cutbacks, and we know he's trying to kind of slim down the monarchy, to have one of these properties that is ready for someone to move into and is working as a functioning home, sitting empty. How many days have they used that house?
Well,
in
I mean,
two
I,
days?
Yeah,
three nights
yeah,
that we know about?
In 2 years, yeah.
And that
yeah.
in the middle of, I know, like, it's really hard to talk about the royals in the same sentence as a cost of living crisis, because there's so many things. But at a time where he does need to be, you know, he is trying to make cutbacks and to slim things down, to have, gosh, how much has that house been valued at? It's like millions of pounds,
millions
isn't
and
it?
Millions, yeah,
to have that
yeah.
sitting empty
yeah.
as basically for somewhere that a couple who don't want to use it, to, you know, to use whenever they want, essentially a kind of holiday home for them to come back to. Mm. I do see the kind of more practical point of saying, right, let's free up Royal Lodge for other members of the royal family. I don't know what you think about this, but obviously Kate and William very
well,
much screams
I mean,
to
mind. I've been saying this for ages. Yeah,
yeah.
We've had this conversation before.
Because they need the bigger family home. Yeah. Andrew doesn't, because yep. he, you know, his family have grown, you know, flown the nest. Princess and Eugenie with their family is now living elsewhere. And it seems like an easy move to swap them over. And the Sussexes, I know this has been taken as a lot of people as a real bitter step, but they're not using it as the baseline.
Yeah, definitely.
They're not using it. And I know the row is that this is their only place they've got in the UK where they've got security. Windsor Castle, but they've all got enough. They're not going to be short of a bed to
stay
in.
They can come and bunk in at the castle.
Exactly.
There's
probably whole, you know, suites.
Go and stay at Royal Lodge or what. There is always an answer. Now, I think you're totally right that the reason why it's created such anger and such furore is the issue that is about the relationship, and the relationship is at rock bottom, completely in the gutter. I mean, how many times have we said this? How can it get any worse? Well, we didn't think it could get worse after the Oprah Winfrey interview. Then the Netflix came, that was a little bit of a tickle compared to the explosiveness of the book. But I think this is surely the final act. I mean, how can they even come back from this? That the king has acted decisively. He's basically said, If you want to act like that, and if you want to drag your family through the mud, and let's not forget, for millions and millions of pounds or dollars, whatever you want to look at it, then you've gained financially out of it. You're going to have to lose out in some sense. And the chess piece is moving of, one of my colleagues actually wrote that there is a problem, you know, there's a housing crisis within the royal family, and it was quite well written to say, not necessarily that the fact that they've got too many homes, they've got the homes, but not enough people to live in it and not live in them. And that causes quite a crisis, because the scrutiny will become so that people will say, well, why do you need all these places? And so Charles is getting ahead of the curve and saying, well, we do need to slim down. Everyone's got to tighten the belt. You know, the duchy's money isn't going to stretch as far as it did. And so, you know, we've already seen him giving back some huge windfalls because of the, I think it was it the wind farms were getting a huge windfall in the North Sea. Mm. So he is very acutely aware of this financial aspect and the give back mechanism that needs to exist within the royal family. However, it's on the backdrop of a family in complete disarray. Now, if it was, the Waleses are going to move over there and get the kids ready to go to school in Windsor. Then they're going to move to the big house. And one day they will move into Buckingham Palace because that's exactly how the monarchy works. I think that most people would find that quite palatable. But obviously the issue is this these family rows. And they ain't done yet, I suppose.
I was surprised that this decision's come now, because I would have thought if he wanted to do this, it would have happened after the coronation. Because as you said, it feels like a line's been kind of drawn in terms of them coming or not coming.
Well, that is because of the financial year, perhaps.
Oh, of course.
So if you come into the April, yes, where all the budgets are going to happen. Yeah. Now, people have
clever.
Been saying...
You should do this for a job.
Well, I won't claim ownership of it because it wasn't me who thought about it. But I was having a chat with someone the other day and saying, well, that's the reason that within April, the budgets are going to be slashed. So that £250,000 that Andrew used to have when the Queen was here, that's gone. Mm. All this extra money that was being spent here, there and everywhere, that's gone. Everybody's been told to tighten their belts. So you might see it in travel. You might see it in the way that money is spent on the royal residences. It still hasn't solved, for me anyway, the fact that Royal Lodge is estimated to cost £400,000 a year to upkeep. I would have said it was more than that, to be honest. Yeah. But it doesn't seem that much money for a 30-bedroom mansion with all the manicured lawns. So is the King then going to say, well, I'll take care of it, but it's unpalatable for the British public and perhaps for the family, for you to still enjoy the spoils of royal life when you have disgraced this family so much. Now, of course, Prince Andrew has always denied wrongdoing, but we still hear, even if he has benefited kindly from the late Queen's will, even if his ex-wife Fergie has got a 22-book deal and she's doing very well for herself, if they've got money swishing around, as Andrew argues he does, because he doesn't want to leave Royal Lodge, that's certainly my understanding, that he's digging his heels in, he's not going to leave, I think the decision will be taken out of his hands. Whether he's dragged kicking and screaming is another matter, but he might find himself in a position where he does not have a choice. So therefore, where does it leave them? If the King's going to make a decision, it's up to him. There's going to be some collateral damage. I'm sure that's how Harry and Meghan feel that they've been treated.
It's such an, you know, as you said, it feels like, and it's one of those things that I just didn't expect we'd get so soon from Charles.
Yes, no, I agree, yeah.
And it's been really interesting to kind of watch it unfold. And I was also really surprised that they actually put out a statement confirming it.
Which Sussexes, is, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, because...
So quickly as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, which I thought was really interesting. But yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Well,
with
you know
one.
What? Why, I wonder why that is, because the Sussexes don't normally get involved in that. They're very hard to get hold of. I mean, even the press that they do talk of, but yeah, people who are considered in the friendly media couldn't even get hold of them. But they could this time because they delivered this statement. Now, did they feel that public opinion would sway in their favour? Because do people think that this is an unnecessary act of brutality, that to treat your son like this? Or do people feel, as I would argue, that, you know, if you're going to do that to your family, then one must suffer some form of consequence, whether that means that the consequence is, sadly, that your family don't want to talk to you anymore, or that you are banished, exiled from the family. I suppose, you know, there had to be someone losing out, didn't they?
And Harry's actually doing a few live events in the next kind of week or so, which we'll kind of touch on later. But it'll be interesting to see if that comes up as conversation, because normally they wouldn't talk about things like this. But the fact they've proactively put this statement out, let's see what comes of it. Now, we've got 2 weeks worth of royal engagements to catch up on, Russell. Yes. So I'm going to test your memory for some of it. Oh, that happened a week and a half ago, but let's jump through. But Kate and William were in Wales for St. David's Day. They did 2 days of activities. They went head-to-head in a cycling race. They went to a parade. And Will's got his first charity since becoming the Prince of Wales, which was really lovely. But let's start off with that great competitive moment where they both got on their exercise bikes. They were at a leisure centre and had 45 seconds while riding uphill in the Italian mountains to see who won.
I have seen this unfair play, the Princess of Wales in 4-inch heels slaughtering her husband on the were they spin bikes?
Yeah, I
pretty
think
much
so.
Spin bikes.
Yeah.
And she was crowned, wasn't she? It was the sort of the, I can't remember what it was. The ABBA, she got the Queen as ABBA van or something like
that. Yeah, it was good. Yeah. And yeah, she was in a £20 Zara skirt, so she really was not dressed for the occasion. But she was the one straight
Heeled
away
boots,
going, can we go faster?
Can
we go for, you know, like, can you make it go faster? So she was straight. Again, we love seeing Kate and Wills when they get all competitive. And it was really good. And Wills at the end was kind of said, what did he say? He said, I'll talk to you in a minute.
I'll talk to you in a minute. Well, he's been
shown up a bit.
I mean, just, I'm probably dancing around the schedule, but they had the England-Wales game at the weekend.
Yes.
Which was obviously lots of competitive spirit because William is the patron of Welsh rugby. Of course, Kate is the patron of the rugby union, the English side. And obviously, the English were victorious. And what did he say?
He said they're going to have a very... before it, he worried that they were going to... He was like, oh...
They're going to fall out.
They're going to have a very tense journey home, was his phrase. And if we win today, my wife won't speak to me and it would be a tense evening. And there was an update later in the week, wasn't it? Because obviously England
won. He said he hadn't heard the end of it.
Yeah.
Well, I like that. I like a bit of sporting rivalry. We get the... You know, in our house, we support different football teams. Of course, they are supporting different national teams. So there's a bit of needle between them. It'd be very interesting to see who the kids... support.
Yeah.
You know, are they Wales's now? Are they England? Of course, we've seen George in his England top before. Maybe you can have both.
Yeah,
that's what William
maybe.
Said, actually, didn't he?
Yeah,
he said you got to support both. And he's been trying a bit of Welsh.
I noticed that.
But
yeah.
Must come on. I mean, let's not get too carried away. He's only had 40 years.
Well, I think I remember we saying this when he became the Prince of Wales because he said that he was going to try to learn to speak it. And
yeah,
he
didn't know he was getting a job. It's like he's starting a new job or something.
But he did a few phrases.
I mean, let's not get too carried away. He basically said hello and thank you. But he did.
Better than I could do.
Well, yeah, but I know Borodar.
Yeah.
Borodar. Oh, well, and I knew another one yesterday because I said, I texted someone good afternoon. Anyway,
I can't even remember
it now.
You're done.
So then we had... Oh, wait, the other thing he was commenting on, the comments he was making was because they went to the Welsh Guards. That was yesterday.
Yes, that was yesterday. So
in
that was
time
for
continuum, Wednesday.
Yes, that was for... Because obviously they were there for 2 days. The exercise thing was the day before, but then actually on...
St. David's Day.
St. David's Day. They had the parade, didn't they? And that was really lovely. It felt like the first kind of like formal occasion we've had.
Yes. Yeah, well, again, sort of first time they've done it together at the Prince and Princess of Wales. He was practising his Welsh. He's been made colonel of the Welsh Guards as well. So he was then talking to them as in his new role and something that he took over his father. I think he took it in 1975.
He did, yes. And
is
he
that
actually
good knowledge.
And he actually apologised, didn't he, for the fact that the king couldn't be there to kind of say a farewell. But, you know, while he spoke about the pride of taking it on, which I thought was really nice. And he also spoke about his time as well, didn't he? And kind of reflected on some of his memories.
Yeah, I mean, again, I like it when he speaks about time in the air ambulance, because you were talking about that charity. He'd taken over the Welsh Air Ambulance. He's going to be the patron of that. Of course, he'd worked in the East Anglia Air Ambulance, as well as doing his work in Anglesey. So it's something that he has an affinity with. I think, of course, we're going to see a lot more working in Wales. Hopefully a few more phrases from William. Pull your finger out. And it's definitely still not reinventing the wheel just yet, is it? But after the coronation, we should have some bets. Where are we going to go on tour? Where are we going to see them next? What are they going to be doing? Because we've definitely seen a lot of homelessness, a lot of early years. Both noble courses, without a doubt. But are they going to be doing things together? Are they going to be doing something a bit outside the mould? I would love them to take a few more risks.
Yeah, I think so. And Lewis,
but
still
I don't necessarily
done...
know what that means. But I think sometimes let yourself go, do something a bit out there. Let's see.
And Louis hasn't even been on his first tour yet, which feels like it has literally been years and years coming.
Well,
George was one for his first one, but the pandemic and then just everything else has put that back.
Let's have a bet. Where do we think? Okay, I don't think there'll be a summer tour.
Oh, do you not think they use the summer holidays?
Well, I don't think they will, because I think that there will be, the King will go somewhere in the summer. I have no idea at the moment. I'm just, these are my predictions. King and Queen will go on tour in the summer. I think the Waleses will wait till the autumn. I imagine the Waleses might go to Canada.
Yeah, I was going
to
say
Canada. Because I reckon the King and Queen concert will go to Australia. Because they've got to go. However, I'm going to have a bit of a caveat, because next year is a big year in Australia. It's a year, it's a big anniversary of independence. So I think there will be a tour in Australia in 2024. So I'm kind of caveating myself.
Oh, that could be interesting.
But I do think there will be a tour to Canada for the Waleses. And will they take the kids? They could do that. It's very cold. I prefer the hot climes.
And I think it will be like fun. You know, I remember that was that one that Charlotte did. I can't remember for the life of me what it was too, but she went to a play date party and they were all playing out in the fields. And do you remember she met the big dog and she was, you know, like the kind of garden outside fun is nice. And you don't quite get that if they're all wrapped up in scarves and coats and all of those things. So we had it actually... an update on George and Charlotte and Louis from Kate and William this week, which was really lovely. Rugby. And we know they've all played before, but George has now got to the age where he's moved on to contact rugby, away from tag. And that must be quite a nerve-wracking time for any parent.
I never liked rugby.
Pardon?
I never liked rugby.
No, I never got past it. We did bits of it, but I wasn't quite brave enough just to run in with no fear. But it sounds like all three of the Wales kids have that. Louis starting at Charlotte also plays rugby. So really nice to have that little family update as well. So maybe they could do a sporting tour.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, when are the British Lions playing? We'll have to find that out. Maybe if they could just basically put their tours alongside major sporting events, World Cups, Olympics, British Lions tour.
When the weather's nice.
I'm up for that. Nice weather. I'm up for that.
Excellent. Well, put a note in. I'm sure they won't mind. I'm sure they won't mind. The other thing, just to really quickly mention before we move on, the rugby, when they went, as well as doing they went and watched the game, they also went into the changing rooms. And this is just a really small thing that I love. They chatted with all the England team. But one of the guys had a disposable camera. Did you see that?
No.
So he was like, they have the proper
like
photographers.
Like an old Fuji film.
You know, the ones you roll up.
Click and roll.
And he obviously said to Kate, like, can we get a picture of my camera?
Oh, cool.
And the picture is, obviously Kate looks perfect every time, but she's got her eyes closed and it's just the first time I've not seen Kate look at it. And it was just that nice. And what I love about those proper disposable cameras is it's actually a moment. They're not quite perfect. And it was just a really funny picture to see that kind of, you know, that type of image, because we're so used to it.
I didn't think you were old enough for disposable camera. I used to go on like holidays and then used to take one of these little disposable cameras.
Oh yeah, you flatter me, but I'll, I'll take that. This is going to be a very weak link, but I'm going to go for it.
Go for it.
Somewhere else, they were photographed a lot.
Very good.
Red carpet at the BAFTAs. This again feels like a very long time ago, but they were there for the annual event. William's obviously president of the British Academy of Film and Television Arts. So this year's was at the London Royals Festival Hall, and Kate looked absolutely amazing. Sarah Bradbury and I, our fashion expert, were WhatsApping within I think about 30 seconds of the picture dropping. I think at the same time we both messaged each other like, "Oh my God, look at that!" I absolutely loved it. I thought she looked brilliant
with the gloves.
Opera gloves. Yeah. So it was a white Alexandra McQueen dress, which we've actually seen before, but she'd kind of made some tweaks to the shoulder, which was lovely. And then black opera gloves and some £17.99 gold earrings from Zara.
Gold.
I know. I don't know what happened to her voice. I was going to style it out, but thank you for pointing it out. But what did you think of the look? Because I think I saw you weren't too sure.
Did I say this? No, I said I liked opera gloves. Very special occasion. I might start wearing them into the office.
I thought she looked brilliant. It was eye-catching.
Yeah, but, you know, big spenny dress, but normal with dress-down earrings. Would you expect it dress-down, high street, cheaper. More affordable, shall we say? One would have expected the other way around with royalty, big jewel gems and sort of... an old frock recycled at the back of your granny's drawers. But it's normally your granny's or your husband's granny's jewellery.
Yeah.
So fair enough, she's respecting the high street.
No, it was really good. I think it was a great look, and it was that look of it really just, it caught, everyone was talking about her on social media, which is, I think, exactly what Kate is really good at. And I thought it was a brilliant brilliant outfit. And also quickly, just to mention, they also, when they were chatting with some of the people there, they kind of were told, Kate and William were told, that the Queen had always been such a great supporter of the art. So real praise for the Queen there, which I thought was really lovely as well. And, you know, still getting those, you know, that the Queen is still coming up in conversations really regularly and her work is still being remembered, which I think is lovely. However, Kate's not very good at making pancakes, we learned.
Well, no, at all. Not
dreadful
at all.
At making pancakes. I think that might be the most negative thing I've said about Kate on this podcast, but it's true.
I did make some pancakes myself, although I got hustled by my daughter, who is only a toddler. And I said to her, did you get pancakes? She said, no, we didn't at nursery. I said, oh my God, better make your pancakes. And then made them, scoffed them all. And then about half an hour later, they updated the app from her nursery and it was her with cream all around the chops. But they were very good pancakes, I must say. I thought I can't basically boil an egg. So I was pretty impressed with myself. Far better than Kate's. So
yeah, I was going
to
say.
1-0 to me.
I love pancake day. It's a brilliant day of the year. I go full on. Well, I had my dinner pancakes, my savoury ones, which were like sweet potatoes sweet potatoes.
In a pancake? Herbs.
Yep, your main course.
Oh my word, this is not right.
With like feta, so that was very good. And then
with a spud?
Pardon, yep. And then the bacon and brie.
What?
Pancake and cranberry sauce.
How many pancakes are you eating?
Oh, a lot. It wasn't a PB year, but I did have a lot. And then you get onto your desserts.
Which is dessert?
Nutella and banana, nice. And then lemon and
solid,
sugar.
Solid
That's
choices.
The more thing, but yeah,
choices.
Exactly. But yeah, Kate, she tried making them. She was at a nursing home in Slough, Oxford House Nursing Home, and she actually ended up apologising. You know, they set up this great table for her to make all the pancakes and to have a go, and she just ended up
apparently,
going, I'm really sorry, please don't eat them.
Apparently the mix had been made before
and was sitting in the jug.
So there was some poor soul was possibly summoned to deliver this news to the press that it wasn't Her Royal Highness's fault, but anyway,
the first one's always rubbish. You know, when you do the first one in the pan, the first one always goes in the
bin. I just made two and they were pretty great. So.
Yeah, you ate two. Gosh.
Yeah, the big thick ones. Yeah. They weren't like American pancakes. Anyway, this is not for your pancake needs. Come back next year.
Now, we've kind of, like I said, lots from Kate and Wills this week, which has been lovely. The King and Queen have also been really busy, and we've had some details of the coronation. But relating to Camilla, actually, and another thing I was really surprised by, that she is going to be putting her grandkids, who normally stay very much out of the spotlight, they're going to be starring roles in it.
Well, yeah, I know, from sort of the fact that Archie and Lilibet might not even be able to come back to the UK because of this security issue. That's another issue entirely, but we might come on to that next week because that will rumble on and on. But big roles for the grandkids. Five grandkids, all teenagers. So from her two children, Laura Lopez and Tom Parker Bowles. And I think this is beautiful because they will potentially be holding the canopy. That is when she's anointed and coronated. Apparently there's a difference. People are getting a bit antsy about the word crowned as opposed to coronated.
Oh,
and
okay.
So there is a distinction.
Right, okay.
I mean, we may just say crowned, but apparently the correct term is coronated.
Coronated, didn't know that. Coronated.
I didn't. Someone pulled me up on it the other day when I was visiting the one of the great palaces. But anyway, so her grandchildren are going to have a part. We presume that at least Prince George would have a role as the... will Princess Charlotte have a role? One would assume so. But it hasn't been spoken about yet. There have been reports that Prince George is in line for a big role, that the King was going to be meeting with William and Kate in due course to discuss that role.
But they wanted something, from the reports I read, that they wanted something that he wasn't going to be subject to too much
scrutiny
which
is fair
also
enough.
Really nice as well.
Yeah. I mean, he's only nine.
Exactly. And if you give him something to do that could go, you know, like...
Yeah,
if you give a nine-year-old some priceless pot or something and then they drop it, that would be the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it's nice to, you know, nice that these, you know, big formal events and all the tradition, but they're still doing the kind of, you know, making sure the family side of it is right too, which is
absolutely
really lovely. Also, some new music. 12, King Charles, I nearly said Prince there while talking about coronation. This is a good start. Has commissioned 12 new pieces of music, including a coronation anthem by Andrew Lloyd Webber.
One by S Club 7 as well.
That in?
No. That would be fun. Although there is quite a bit of controversy about who is going to perform at the concert.
Yeah, let's clear this up because lots of no's I've heard so far.
Adele and Ed Sheeran were put up first. Ed Sheeran's come out and said he wasn't even asked, or certainly his management have.
Oh, poor Ed.
Adele is obviously still doing her big Vegas show that took a quite while to get off the ground. Then you have Take That. I mean, Take That are quite a British institution, but are they a worldwide band? Take That fans, we need to hear from you.
Yeah.
I
think, however much I love Adele, it's not the party vibe you want, is it?
No, you don't get up.
I've been lucky enough to see Adele live, and she actually says, guys, I've only got two songs you can dance to.
Yes.
Make the most of them, dance.
Because
you've only got like 6 minutes of it, and then you're just going to be kind of, you know, praying and feeling a bit sad. Yeah. So it's not quite the party vibes. But who would you like to see? Who else would be top of your list?
S Club 7. Definitely. They're reforming. I don't know, really. We need big bands.
Yeah.
Like The Who or... Queen.
Yeah, because Queen obviously did the Jubilee, and it was Madness did the Jubilee before, didn't they? Because they were the ones that it was all projected.
Does
on
anyone north of the M25 like Madness?
I like Madness.
Yeah, but you're from London.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe we can hear from some Brummies. UB40 for the Brummies.
Oh, yeah, there we go. We'd love to hear your ideas. Let us know who you want, and Russell can put a good word in.
This is a rather large segment going on for ages, but... I don't know. It's Coronation. I mean, less than 10 weeks. We've got 9 weeks now. There's obviously going to be a lot more said about it. The ballot was opened. Just a few. I don't think we spoke about the ballot. The ballot
we
is
did,
open. Did we speak about it?
I put my name in within
did
about
you?
30 minutes
well
of it being
done,
open.
You.
But then I know I'm going to end up working it anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But that's good.
I can dream.
Far,
I can dream.
More organized.
And it's going to come around very quickly now.
It's going to be very quick.
Very quick.
And. What are we prepared? I mean, it's going to be... Who's going to go on the guest list? Kings and queens, foreign monarchs are invited.
Ooh.
Which is against the grain, which has not been done in previous... So
oh, really?
To not have foreign monarchs, right? And foreign members of foreign royal families, and you've still got a guest list of 8,000 for the previous ones.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you know, who on earth was going?
That's so true.
So apparently there's a bit of a argy-bargy about... people in the Lords upset that they might not get an invite. You can just imagine it, can't you? All the landed gentry sending in their complaints.
That is the ticket you want. That is the ticket you want, definitely. Now, elsewhere in the King and Queen's diary this week, the King had a cup of tea, which caused a bit more drama than I think was expected, didn't he?
Yes. Well, there's a big sort of celebrations from Rishi Sunak and the Tory government from finally getting a Brexit deal through. I mean, we've had so many of them, lose count. But Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the EU Commission, was in town. Now, a bit of controversy because this was supposed to be happening a day or two before, kind of got out that it was happening. Then some of the papers went a bit mad about it, saying that Charles had been embroiled in this political hoo-ha and that the Tories were basically using him to try and call it the Windsor Agreement and give it the raw stamp of seal of approval. And of course, the king or a monarch should remain apolitical. Then there was a bit of toing and froing about who asked for the meeting. Number 10 saying it was the EU Commission. EU Commission saying it was number 10. The Buckingham Palace not saying anything. Then it was apparently Ursula von der Leyen had requested it anyway. We finally had the meeting between them. They had a shake of hands, a couple of pictures, nice cup of tea. And we were waiting to see what happens with this Brexit deal. But aside from that, I didn't think this was a big deal. I mean, Ursula von der Leyen wields considerable power. She is pretty much a world leader. She is a stateswoman of incredible position, and so therefore the king should be meeting her. She's in town. Is that a really big political statement? I think people are getting a knickers and twist about it personally.
And elsewhere, the king put out a really moving statement. Obviously, it was the anniversary of the war in Ukraine last Friday, and he put out a really moving statement, kind of praising the remarkable courage and resilience of the Ukrainians, which, you know, we kind of expected him to. Well, you know, it wasn't a surprise that he put something out, but it was a really moving piece, actually, and really long.
Yeah, I think the support that the royal family have given the Ukrainian communities both here and abroad. Of course, President Zelensky making that incredible speech in Westminster Hall and going to meet the King has only solidified those relations, and long may they continue whilst this awful war is continuing.
And elsewhere, so Camilla had a really exciting week this week. So the reading kind of event that she set up in lockdown,
yes,
she turned into an official charity. So this is when, in lockdown, she said that, I think lots of people did, bored and wanted things to do, she listed off her favourite books on a scrap of paper, and it became kind of, you know, this big thing that she did of getting people to read and giving book recommendations. And she's now changed it into, yeah, so the project she was doing before was the reading room, and she's now changed it into a charity, which is really lovely, and kind of giving it that more, you know, more space. And she had a big event to launch it with lots of authors there. Jacqueline Wilson was there. Who else was
lots
there?
Lots of actors. Richard E. Grant, I saw, was there.
Yep, Richard Osman, obviously, of the Thursday Murder Club.
How tall is he?
Very tall.
He's very tall. Yeah. I always think it's the King. Whenever I had... Before I had met him or sort of met him and worked with him and whatever, stood alongside him, I was shocked about how he wasn't taller, because he carries himself rather well.
He was really tall.
But Richard Osman is an absolute giant.
Just Googling it now.
I think he's about 6 foot. Is he 6 foot seven?
It's come up. He's 2 point. He's 2 meters.
Oh, we don't
that
know
means
about
nothing
meters.
To me.
I mean, come on. Anyway,
6'7".
6'7". One of my best friends is 6'7". And his brother is 6'6", and I'm next to them, so I look like a mascot. But what was interesting is that the fact that they've taken the reading room and called it the Queen's Reading Room. Now, Buckingham Palace was insisting that this was just for ease. And now, of course, we have had more than a few rumblings that the Queen consort will slowly drop the consort title.
And it is catchier. Queen consort.
Of course it
is.
It's a bit wordy. But I do think it is quite surprising because, you know, back in the day, they were talking about princess consort. Camilla would only ever be known as that. She didn't take the Princess of Wales title. She was only going to be known as princess consort when she was married. Then, of course, it was the Queen's sincere wish during her Jubilee message. Gosh, that seems a long time ago.
It really does.
Over a year, just over a year ago. And then to be dropping it, the King is definitely making... moves, isn't he?
It really is. It feels like it's kind of...
It feels like we're in a new dawn.
Yeah, and I think for me it felt like it was almost like the start, because if he did serve that eviction notice, if you will, a few days after spare, that was the first year of January. It feels like he's almost done that thing of like, right, January 1st.
Maybe he's got a resolution list. Right, yeah. They're out. Queen consort's out. Queen's in. Anyway,
It's been a really...
There's been a lot going on.
A lot of kind of big change, like big things as well. Not just kind of events. Obviously, the events and engagements that, you know, the royals do are always really important and really interesting, but it feels like it's been quite defining moments of the last fortnight.
Yes.
Which has been interesting. What have we got coming up this week? Well, I'm particularly excited about Prince Harry's chat. Q&A.
Yeah, I mean, just yours for... I think the tickets are £17.50. Or I think that's $30. I don't know what the disparity is in those, but
you get a free copy of the book.
You do get a free copy of the book, and you can fans will be able to ask him questions. They will be screened, so you can't just say, "Do you hate your family?" Or, "Are you ever going to come back?"
So he's talking about, this is an author talk to promote Spare, and he's talking about living with loss with another author.
Loss of his house. He might have a few more to say, a few more choice words to say.
But it will be really interesting to see what comes up in that Q&A and how personal he speaks, because obviously it's off the back of Spare, so we know that he's spoken very openly in that, and it'll be interesting to see if this is a kind of continuation of this, or if he is a bit more, you know, kind of
subdued.
Yeah, yeah.
Subdued. Well, March the 4th, so this Saturday. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to watch it.
Anything else coming up? That you can tell us, or a big
secret?
Nothing
I can tell you. All secrets, all secrets.
As always. Anyway, but yeah, hopefully lots more coronation detail. It seems to be that we're getting a thing a week.
Yeah.
Which is quite a nice way to do it. I think it's quite clever. So yeah.
Yeah, that's probably more than by accident design. I wouldn't give her too much credit, to be honest with you.
Let's go with it. Let's give them that credit. They can have it. Anyway, Russ, thank you so much for joining me. I hope your back feels better. Thank you to everyone for tuning in this week. As always, we're on Twitter and Instagram @PodSave. And until next time.
Pod Save the King!